This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, LA. You worried about your Lakers? And I ask because, not just because of the Jazz, you know why I'm asking, really. The Nets, big three, only two of them playing right now. And they just went 5-0 against the West, some of the best teams, including the Lakers in the conference. Of course, the Lakers didn't have AD, but then the Nets didn't have KD. When that Harden trade went through, Lakers fans weren't sweating it, and neither were the Lakers, and for good reason. Best offensive and defensive team in the league, both, were the Lakers, basically. And the Nets didn't play any defense, and who knows what Harden was going to do and how he interact with Kyrie, but oh my God, they're already deadly. How you feeling now, Lakers fans? 888-SAY-ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Lakers are 1-2 since AD went out with that calf strain. Now, they had a decent record earlier in the season because they were playing bad teams, it so happened, when he missed. But he has tendinosis in his Achilles. Those two losses, by the way, they're now 1-2. Coming to the Nets and the Heat. The Heat, of course, in a rematch of last year's finals. The Heat have not played well this year, although they're an underachieving team. I expect them to play better as the season goes on. And the Nets, look, I think the finals everyone wants is Lakers and Nets. And if AD is healthy, I believe the Lakers will hold up their end of the bargain. And if KD is healthy, I believe the Nets will too. But Lakers fans, no. That's the one franchise in the NBA. Getting there ain't all right. It's not enough. It's a failure if the Lakers don't win the championship. Every year, that's how Lakers fans feel. That's the standard they've set. That's how it is. You know why Lakers fans want to win a championship? Unlike every other fan base? Because you can't repeat until you win the first one. And you can't three-peat until you repeat. That's the mentality of Lakers fans and the franchise. Nets got you nervous? Here's LeBron James talking about the fortunes of the Lakers since AD's injury.
Our guys do a great job of being in the gym. We all put in the work. And, so it's not that. I mean, if it was that we weren't putting in work, then, you know, that would be the reason for it. Or I could say that's a cause of it. So, you know, the law of averages even itself out. And we had lapses last year. At one point, we had it during the playoffs as well. And we just, you know, we knew we would find our rhythm.
Now, look, I understand if this show was on during the weekend, right? If this was a weekend show, we'd talk about Caruso missing the shot. No, we talk about LeBron playing hot potato with that ball, right? Finding Caruso in the corner instead of taking the shot himself. But that's the thing. I don't think LeBron did play hot potato with the ball. He did that in those four games in the fourth quarter in Dallas once upon a time when he was in Miami. That was not, well, I'm making the right basketball play. That was abdicating responsibility. I don't want it. Moment's too big. I don't know how my, am I the man on this team? Is Dwayne Wade? He was, you know, learning to win, as they say. That's not what he did with Caruso. LeBron wasn't scared to take the shot. He passed up for a better shot. He believes in his teammates. I'm not stressing it. Like LeBron saying his team's putting in the work, that's good enough for me. I'm not stressing it in terms of LeBron finding out about teammates. Remember, early on in his Miami tenure and also in Cleveland, sometimes early in the season they'd have struggles because LeBron was figuring out how to lead a group of guys to the promised land. He was figuring it out. Each group is different. How am I going to lead this group? What can everyone do? And if they can't do that, what position could I put them in so that they can contribute something positive? Right? Like, how do I do it? And he learned during the season what he needed to do, and that's why, as a great leader and floor general, his teams are always in the finals. Always in the finals. In Cleveland, in Miami, in L.A., LeBron lives in the finals. He knows how to use regular season games to figure out a group. So I'm not worried about that, and I'm not worried about him passing the ball to Caruso. That's a good thing. Caruso will hit that shot sometimes, too. Not worried about any of that. But I am worried about the Brooklyn Nets, L.A. I'm worried about the Brooklyn Nets. When LeBron says, in AD's absence, it's time for him to adjust, I have no doubt LeBron can adjust. And if he was facing,
no doubt.
If he was facing kind of a regular team, that'd be one thing. But if the Nets are waiting for him in the finals with Harden and Kyrie and Kevin Durant and Joe Harris, by the way, if the Nets are waiting and, you know, TLC, if the Nets are waiting in the finals with the big three and effective role players, with, I guarantee you this, this is a guarantee, take this to the bank, the Nets are going to have the greatest offense of all time by the end of this season, if everyone's healthy. If everyone's healthy, they're going to have the greatest season offense of all time, and not by a little bit. They're going to, like, the Mavs have the most efficient offense ever last year, right? The Nets offense is going to stomp the Mavs offense out from last year. They're going to have the best offense in history by far, like way better than any offense that ever existed, is going to be the Nets by the end of this year. If they even play average defense, the Lakers are going to have to be at full capacity. They're going to have to be the best defensive version of themselves and the best offensive version of themselves. And they're going to have to figure out, no matter how they play defense, where they're going to come up with 120 to 130 points a night to beat the Nets 4 times out of 7. They're going to have to figure that out. Where are those points going to come from? Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Our old friend Richard. What's up, Richard?
Max, I got 2 points mathematically I'm going to prove to you. First,
okay, mathematical proof.
Yeah. Sure. The Nets are 20 and 12. Uh-huh. Utah's 24 and 6. That's a 5-game difference. Mm-hmm. 5 games. Between Utah and the Nets.
Okay.
Why did the Nets have 2 starters in the All-Star game and Utah has 0?
Because the Nets started out the season without James Harden, who's their second best player, and then have played recently without Kevin Durant, who's their best player. Also, when Kyrie joined the team, he and Harden had to figure things out. There was an adjustment period. And so the Nets' record does not reflect their entire record, does not reflect the team they've become. And so, in fact, when healthy, the Jazz, their best player, the best player on the Utah Jazz, maybe, if that's Donovan Mitchell, say, maybe is as good as the third best player on the Nets, but maybe not. You know, like,
okay,
that's
Max,
the reality.
Max, one more. You said something. You said the Lakers were without AD, and the Nets were out were without Durant.
Yeah.
But L.A. is at a greater disadvantage. In other words, L.A. with 2 superstars versus the Nets, 3 superstars, yep, is much more advantageous than L.A. with 1 superstar.
Agreed.
Versus the Nets, 2 superstars.
Agreed. Agreed. I think, by the way, I think that's why Lakers fans can have hope. Because the Lakers are even more top-heavy than the Nets in the sense that the Lakers, like the big three, and the Nets have quite a big three. They're amazing. But AD is, you know, you could argue he's the second, anywhere between the second and fifth best player in the league, and LeBron is the best. Like, they're super top-heavy, the Lakers. It's not that they don't have depth with role players on the roster, but they're losing one of their big two is more devastating to them than losing one of the big three for the Nets because you have 2 other guys who can get it done. But what else does that tell you? That maybe the Nets are just better. I mean, it's an open question, but I know that's a whole lot of firepower the Lakers are going to have to fend off. And by the way, AD has great skills for a big, but make no mistake, he's a 4 or a 5. He's not a perimeter player, and he can't get his own shot like a perimeter player. He can by the standards of a big, but not like Kevin Durant can, who's the same height, but just, you know, more versatile, you know, plays smaller that way. You can't. The Nets have 3 players who can all get their own shots as well as anyone who ever lived and hit them from anywhere as well as anyone who ever lived. No team has ever had that before in the history of basketball. The Splash Brothers plus KD are amazing. And for a pure shooter, Klay Thompson can get his own shot. He can put the ball on the floor and make decisions with it. But if Klay is doing that as the opposition defense, you're like, okay, that's as good as we can hope for. How's Kyrie, like, if he's the weak link there, because the other two are MVPs, Steph and KD, then there are 2 MVPs on the Nets, KD and Harden. How's Kyrie putting the ball on the floor? He'll kill you. No one put, like, Kyrie put the ball on the floor. He's the greatest handles of all time. the greatest package of layups of all time. And he's a nasty shooter from anywhere on the floor, including the three free throw line, wherever you want. Difficult mid-range shots. One of the greatest ever. That's never been anything like this. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, good show. You can almost say this about with the Clippers, too. Before I get to that, I think the refs know about Harden's flopping history.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a bunch of BS.
I agree. Look, Harden, I don't like players. I understand why they do it, why they use the rules. They manipulate them. Every offensive player trying to draw the foul from the defensive player, but it's like a baseball player, you know, trying to draw a walk. That's not the original intention of the rule. And you just don't like to see a player flopping. Not only did he flop, but he was grabbing Kawhi that play. Kawhi was batting him away. And it was a bad call, and it was a flop. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. Jeff Darlington joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, man, what's going on?
You tell me. 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton? Cam says no.
Man, you know what's interesting about that is if we remember last year when he was available to all 32 teams, it took the New England Patriots several months of him being on the open market to bring him on. So I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is what's changed between last year at this time and now. The two things I think he did well is he was a really good teammate. That was a question for some GMs around the league. The other thing, he stayed reasonably healthy through the season. Another benefit. The downside, though, is what did we see from him on the field that's really going to change the minds of those who passed on him last year?
Well, here's my argument for Cam. And by the way, maybe he's degenerated physically since then. Maybe it's the shoulder. I don't know. But here's my argument for Cam, and I want you to critique this argument. Tell me where it's wrong. Tell me if it's convincing, okay? Talking to Jeff Darlington on the Goodyear Hotline of ESPN fame, of course. Cam Newton was once voted by his peers the best player in the game. It was in the middle of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady's prime. Mm-hmm. His peers voted him best player in the game. He was the MVP. He took his team to the Super Bowl. He was statistically, with Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator, the year he got hurt, having his best season as a passer. And just the eyeball tested, yeah, he looks really better as a passer than maybe he's ever looked. Then he gets hurt, shoulder injury. And by the way, they were winning with him as a passer, right? Then he gets hurt, shoulder injury. And then he's done for a while, right? And then he misses a season. Now he comes back after a catastrophic injury, missing a season, to a brand new team. Remember, having just played maybe the best football of his career, which once had him as the best player in the world. And he comes back to a new team, new system, new coach. He's never known another, you know, other than the Panthers and Ron Rivera. Knew everything. Right. No offensive weapons. Not much of a defense after all the defections because of COVID before the season. And then speaking of defections, there's then an infection of COVID of Cam Newton, right? He actually gets COVID. Right. So in a COVID season where you can't practice with your teammates anyway, new system, coming off a catastrophic injury, a year off, the whole thing, he then gets it himself. And if you look at the game before he missed, he didn't look great, although I thought he looked very good against Seattle early. And then he had that COVID fog afterwards, didn't look great. But in the end, Jeff, they won seven games. So, like, has he forgotten how to throw? Did he never know? Is it the shoulder? Or am I right? Is the jury still out?
Well, so I'm going to add one more layer in defense of Newton. Tom Brady at this time last year decided that the cupboard was so bare in New England that he had to leave the team that he was with for 20 years to go somewhere with weapons. What does that say about the offense that Cam Newton was running? That being said, I'm with you in many regards, but I also, in a vacuum, it makes sense what you're saying. But I still look at it as when you have 32 general managers who, by the way, are generally speaking risk adverse.
Yeah.
Bringing a guy into your locker room who, if you're not bringing him in as the starter, if you're not completely committed to Cam Newton, it's a difficult sell for a GM. Because you're bringing a polarizing figure, not necessarily always by his own doing, into your room that could cause some chemistry issues, that could cause some players to say, hey, why aren't we running Cam the second your starter starts to slide? Look, I understand that that's a kind of a weak argument, but it is
Well, you know what it makes me think, Jeff?
The way these GMs operate.
Yeah, you know what it makes me think? As you're talking, I'm thinking, well, maybe one of the things that happened is Cam is not so unique anymore. He's not, you know, a lot of guys are very mobile and big and strong. Now, like, a lot of guys can do what he once did that was really kind of outlierish. There weren't that many guys who could move like him, and now there are, although maybe still not at his size.
He's such a monster.
Yeah, he's
man.
A monster. Like, dude, he's a monster.
Like, such a monster. But, and that's where I almost believe that's the reason that Belichick brought him in. He applies the universe theory, that there's only so many people like that walking this planet. And it's the kind of guy that you feel like you want to take a flyer on, like the Patriots sort of did, but at the same time, there's so many other reasons you're like, is this the guy that we're going to take that flyer on?
Here's the one that I could think of. The one I could think of is Washington, because Ron Rivera has said not all that long ago, look, there are two issues with Cam. First of all, our goal line offense, like everything with Cam, we did really well. But his health and his contract. Well, if Ron Rivera thinks he's healthy and the contract now is not an issue, right? They signed Heinicke to back up money. It seems to me to be a backup. Maybe in Washington.
Well, then you've got Kyle Allen in play there as well. So to your point, like, this is the same guy that Cam obviously superseded in Carolina. So look, if you're looking across the league, it's the same reason why we're sitting here saying Carson Wentz can be what he once was in Indianapolis with Frank Reich. Yep. So the reunion oftentimes, I understand, is a good argument to match a guy with a guy. And I mean, it's the same reason we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo potentially going back to New England. Why is that? Because we tried to recreate the success that they once had. So to your point, if we're doing that with Cam Newton, it makes the most sense that it would be.
Because guys like me, bereft of imagination, just like, oh, well, they were once together, put them together again. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Yeah. Jeff, let me ask you, do the Texans really think Deshaun's going to stay?
I mean, are we trying to rationalize with the irrational at this point? It's tough for me to get in the head of the Houston Texans organization at this point, given all that's happened in the last 18 months. So do they think he's going to stay? If they do, I would argue they are validating the sanity with which we all.
Well, you've tweeted about Easterby, right? Jack Easterby. Like, and I've talked about it too. He may be the world's greatest team chaplain. That doesn't mean he's going to be able to run the organization. Jeff, if I'm like on trial for my life, I could have an awesome dentist. I'm not going to bring him in to defend me. Like, what are the Texans doing?
It's a great point. And, you know, and it's like, I'm not opposed to the idea of someone rising through unorthodox ranks. Like, that's not bothersome to me. You know, the thing that's bothersome to me is that he hasn't really done anything to validate the rise through those ranks.
Right.
So, for me, I look at it and I see a GM that's been fired, a head coach that's been ousted, DeAndre Hopkins traded, J.J. Watt now out and a team leader, Deshaun Watson wanting to get out. I think the head trainer was ousted at one point. I mean, top to bottom, the organization has fallen. Every you know, identifiable aspect of the organization is gone. And one man remains, and that is the winner of, apparently, the Game of Thrones, Jack Easterby.
Yeah, how did that happen? That's the tweet I'm referring to. You went through just even the job descriptions of everyone who's left. And I remember you pointed out, like, just look at the job descriptions, right? And the quarterback wants out. It's franchise legend. It's quarterback. It's head coach. It's everybody. They're all gone. And Easterby is sitting there. Does that make sense?
You know, I'm guessing Easterby would counter that by saying, well, Bill O'Brien, did you think that he was doing the job that deserved, you know, the role that he was in? You know, he'd probably try to distance himself from DeAndre Hopkins. By the way, the head of PR, Amy Paulsik, one of the most popular in the league, also fired. So,
Jeff, by the way, he distanced himself from DeAndre Hopkins, all right. Hopkins was in Texas. He was in Houston, and then he wasn't. That's a pretty good distance in Arizona.
That's exactly, in the most literal form. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's fascinating, man. I'll tell you what, I guess if he comes out and this Houston team is suddenly a winner, I'm certainly willing to apologize for the question,
too.
But I just don't see it, man.
I feel like that's one of those things where, like, I'll dress up as whatever and you'll be fine. Jeff Darlington, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff, always an ESPN NFL reporter, of course. Jeff, always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, my man. Thanks for having me on, man.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. ALA. This is going to sound funny. Do the Dodgers need Clayton Kershaw? He's being asked if he's going to come back and he wants to. Do the Dodgers need Clayton Kershaw? And how do you feel about it now that he got the monkey off his back? 888-SAY-ESPN. He's won a World Series. He didn't choke in the playoffs. But do you need him now? 888-SAY-ESPN. Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience, no problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Do you need Clayton Kershaw, L.A.?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Do the Dodgers need Clayton Kershaw? Do they need him? Clayton Kershaw says he's absolutely considering returning to the Dodgers. Said he considered the possibility of re-signing with the team after his contract ends this season. I'm on a year-to-year basis, Kershaw said on Sunday. Quote, I want to reevaluate at the end of every year and see how we're doing as a family, myself personally, where we are as a team, and then just make a decision from there. I have no intentions of hanging them up. I'm only 32. I feel like I have more years left in the tank. Here's the thing about Kershaw. Were it not for his postseason struggles, there's an argument. Now, he's not going to win this argument because of the postseason. You could argue he's the greatest pitcher ever, except for that. Like, he had a Sandy Koufax-level prime, another Dodger left-handed great, where, like, basically, what I mean by that is basically every year you're up there in innings pitched, strikeouts, strikeout-to-walk ratio, ERA, walks and hits to innings pitched, right? And you're either winning the Cy Young or you're coming in second, right? That's and he did that for four, five, six seasons. But unlike Koufax, he didn't need to take six, 7 years to figure it out. He was great right away. And he sustained that prime a little longer than Koufax, even if it wasn't as dominant because the eras have changed. You know, not as easy to put up those numbers now. Throw 300 innings and have almost 400 strikeouts. But like he was that great at his best. And then he kept coming up short under pressure in the playoffs. He was worse every time. And he had some good games mixed in, but you know, his ERA was one of the lowest ever. And then in the postseason, it was over four, you know, close to five. But, you know, that changed this year. And everyone, Clayton Kershaw is such a, like, you know, this dude is spending his time digging wells in Africa and stuff. Like, he's a good dude and wanted to be great. I really think his problem in the playoffs was he wanted it too much. He was wound too tight in those situations. But at any rate, he finally gets it done. But did the Dodgers need him? I think if Clayton Kershaw is one of your five guys on your staff, and especially nowadays, we all know. I don't care if you have Bauer and whoever else. You need more than five pitchers to get through a season. It's the way it is now. Everyone's throwing every pitch with maximum effort. No one throws, you know, like a five and dive in the old days. That's a good start nowadays. So you could use him. You could use Kershaw. But I'm curious to know what Dodgers fans feel about that. Meantime, Fernando Tatis Jr., I mean, he's come on like gangbusters. Hasn't really played what we call a real full season yet because of COVID last year. And before that, he's like, you know, 12 years old in the major leagues. But I don't understand a 14-year deal. And by the way, the Padres have often acted as a much bigger market franchise, I think, than given credit for. But, oh my God, 14-year deal for Tatis? Do you know how hard it is to predict what's going to happen 14 years in the future? 14 years? As a Yankees fan, I was glad they gave Derek Jeter a 10-year deal, but that's like the only long-term contract that has ever worked out in the history of sports, like 10-year deal. Tatis gets 14? It's insanity. I'm pro-labor, but the one thing I would say is limit the length of deals. It's not good. Limit the length of deals. By the way, get rid of salary caps everywhere, not that baseball has one, and limit the length of deals. 14 years. Injury possibility, and knock wood, changes in the game, change, you know, like unpredictable ways a guy ages. 14 years. All right. I'm glad he got his money. Kadeem in Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? Great show, great work. Brooklyn is very excited about, you know, the big three, but what I wanted to know, I personally feel like they're a great offensive team, but they're still lacking in defense. Do you believe that maybe they can still win a championship currently constructed, or they should still make a trade and maybe try to get a defensive guy like maybe P.J. Tucker or maybe some other guys that might be available during the trade deadline?
Well, P.J. Tucker would be great, but I'm thinking, but although it's not exactly who I'm thinking, of a guy who can also defend the rim. DeAndre Jordan, when healthy and willing, showed a couple weeks ago he can still do it for a night. Can he do it consistently? I think you're gonna have to replace Jared Allen somehow, and I don't think they have that on the roster right now. But that's a relatively it can have an outsized impact on the team. But it shouldn't be that hard to find a guy like that. At least, you know, a veteran who wants to play on this kind of team. You know, it acts as a magnet when you have this kind of talent. Veterans who want to pick up a championship might want to go there. And I also think that the Nets have been playing much better defense over the last, during the win streak. And also that Kevin Durant, where the Achilles may show up, has been in his defense this year. He's willing to take on the toughest defensive assignment on the perimeter, but I don't think he's as effective when he was on the floor as he was before the injury, where he'd become an outstanding defensive player. Got time for one more quick? Brendan in Missouri, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, what do you actually think that Cam Newton will go to Ron Rivera in Washington?
I think that might be his best choice. Team won 7 games without much at quarterback last year. They have a very good defense. And Ron Rivera, just go back to this quote from Rivera when he'd already taken the Washington job and he was asked about Cam Newton. You can look it up. I forgot where it was. Google it. And he said, there are two things. We were excellent with Cam. He likes Cam. There are two things about Cam, though, you got to keep your eye on. He said the contract and his health. If Rivera believes he's healthy and he got through a full season, even with COVID, he didn't miss that much time. And the contract's obviously not an issue. And Heinicke is their best option. I could see Cam in Washington. Yes, I could. L.A., should the Lakers be concerned about the big three? I'm not talking about when they put it together and everyone was like, no big deal, the Lakers got this. I'm talking about now. Even if AD is healthy, I'm talking about what you've seen from these dudes now, Lakers fans. 888-SAY-ESPN. You're invited to a virtual Q&A with undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Teofimo Lopez. And that's tomorrow. ESPN Plus is so fresh. This is for ESPN Plus subscribers. Just I guess I am shilling for the company, but I believe this. I whether or not I would say it were I working on another network or something, I would think it. ESPN Plus, as a sports fan, I can't think of a better bang for my sports dollar than ESPN Plus. I can't think of one. If one exists, it does not come to mind. There's so much fresh stuff on ESPN Plus. Football fans, you want to see Joe Montana breaking down games in details, or basketball fans, Kobe Bryant, or fight fans, you want to see some of the greatest fights of all time. The library is ridiculous. By the way, you can watch this show. Watch Max on Boxing. ESPN Plus is great. Visit ESPNplus.com/TopRankQA for more details.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, I'm going to give it to you with no trivia. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Here's friend of the show, Dr. Andre Snellings. All that education, still can't beat me in a sports debate. ESPN NBA Insider, the best week ever on why the Lakers are going to be okay. Listen to Andre Snellings.
They've got LeBron, so as long as LeBron and AD can be healthy come playoff time, I think that's really all they need is just to get their guys healthy. I actually wrote an article last week working with the outstanding Stefania Bell, who helps break down injuries for ESPN, and we were – you know, just looking at Davis and what he would need to do to get back and get healthy. And so it's like if he's able to do that in the second half of the season and LeBron doesn't, you know, hurt himself trying to carry the team, I think they could still be right where they want to be, you know, in the spring, in the summer.
Yeah, but right where the Lakers want to be, and I agree with Dr. Snellings, but right where the Lakers want to be is not contending for a chip. They want to win it. And the question is, has KD, this time he didn't join a 73-win team. He created his own super team. That's okay, right? Like, that's what LeBron did in Miami. But is it too much? Because LeBron, listen, KD on the Warriors, what happened originally was he couldn't get by the Warriors with Westbrook in them. I was there, Game 7 at Oracle, 2016. Thunder couldn't get it done. And he and Westbrook didn't play well down the stretch in that game. But the LeBron James-led Cavs came in and did exactly what they needed to do and won. They succeeded where KD's team failed. And it's as though the Warriors and KD looked at each other and said, damn, if LeBron got two other cats with him, like Kyrie and Kevin Love, us alone, we can't beat him. And you, you know, without us, you can't beat him. But together, we can join forces and beat him. But once KD joined a 73-win team, there was nothing anyone could do. LeBron correctly understood they can't be beaten. KD didn't do that this time. KD went and formed his own super team, not unlike what LeBron did in Miami with Wade and Bosh, right? Is it going to be too much for LeBron? Has KD done it again? Dr. Pacheco in Los Angeles. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Great to say hello, fellow Columbia Lions. So you make us proud, buddy. Really love the show.
Thank you, Doctor.
And listen, yeah, you're welcome, Max. And remember Ferdy Pacheco, of course. You know, I never was able to find out if we're related. Anyway, as usual, I think you hit the nail on the head. The other night, Max, when I was watching Brooklyn and the Lakers, it's like, okay, Brooklyn has showed that they can play with Harden at the point. Who do you double team? I mean, if with the Lakers, with LeBron and with AD, that's fine. But who do you double team on the Nets? You can't double team anybody.
No.
Because you double team one of those guys, even if you could double two of those guys, you still have Josh Harris.
Yeah, so, Joe Harris. I mean, Joe Harris, who's like the best shooter on the team. Yeah, the issue is this. What Steph Curry did with Draymond could you know, Steph created enough space. Draymond could play five out. You could play him at the five, and you play five out. Draymond could also do all kinds of things defensively, and they could swarm the ball even if they didn't have a shot blocker. But what Steph really did, and his pick-and-roll partner was Dre, was he showed what a real mobile artillery unit could be in the NBA. Well, you don't get an extra point from shooting farther behind the three-point line. No, you don't, but you do create extra space. And Kyrie and Harden and KD are all mobile artillery units. So, right, who do you – like, it's not like guarding a big. It's harder in its way, especially when there are three of them. And one of them 7 feet tall? It's a lot. But listen, the Nets are going to have to play defense consistently. They probably have to make a move at the deadline for a defensive piece. Pastor Chris in West Virginia. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir, Max. Hey, diehard Eagles fan since Randall Cunningham. What are we going to do since Wentz is gone? Hurts is there.
Here's the question. Right, here's the question. If Justin Fields is sitting there at six because Zach Wilson is the second quarterback taken, what do you do if you're the Eagles? And if I'm the Eagles, I'm taking Justin Fields. If he's there at six, I'm going to take him. And otherwise, I think you got to rebuild the whole team. You hope Jalen Hurts is something. But if he's not a franchise quarterback, then you're going to have to rebuild that whole team. And you're going to have to get yourself a quarterback. And whatever you think of Jalen Hurts, if Justin Fields is available at six, I'm going to take him. I think he has a high floor and a real good upside, too. I hear you, Eagles fans. If they're married to the idea of giving Hurts a shot and not drafting a quarterback, or if Fields is not there at six, what do you do? Because you didn't get that much in exchange for Wentz. A third rounder this year. You didn't even get a second this year. You hope he stays healthy for Indy and your second turns into a first next year and you rebuild. Tune in tonight for a college basketball doubleheader as Duke hosts Syracuse, followed by number 15 Texas Tech at Oklahoma State. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming right up. I'll see you tomorrow. Poof. Well, no, I got 10 more seconds. That's awkward. 10 more seconds. I feel like Dana Carvey when he was doing George H.W. Bush. 1,000 points of light. See you tomorrow.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.